In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm much appreciative to Deacon Anthony for giving me two Gospels to choose from today. However, since last week was the first Gospel, I think I'll go with the second one. And it's an interesting one, particularly at this time of year. It really cuts through to the heart, I think, of everyone. Now, we've got to preface it a little bit, because right before this Gospel begins, someone came to the Lord and was basically wanting Him to act as the executor of their estates, because they come and they say, look, we have two brothers here. Can you decide how this inheritance should be divided? And the Lord said, no, because you're looking at the wrong thing here. Money is not the important thing. Why are you putting all your trust in this sort of thing? And then He goes on to explain this in this parable to give these people an example of what He was talking about. And the parable is one that is really difficult for us in many, many ways. Because first of all, it talks about someone who is so enormously rich, if you can imagine it. They had had many, many good years. Their crops were very fertile. They had lots of grain. They had few places to store it, however. And so their wealth was so abundant, it was so overflowing, that the question that they ask is, what am I to do? Now, for someone in that position to say, what am I to do, it's almost an abomination. Because what am I to do is reserved for someone who is perhaps really desperate, really needy, really wanting something that they've got to have in order to even sustain life. But this person is doing this out of abundance. He's got so much, he just says, what am I to do? What am I to do? I know. I'll build yet more. And I'll store all this stuff away. Because I'm just doing so well, it's great. And look, I'll just say, soul, take it easy. You've got lots of time. You've got lots of things stored up. Eat, drink, and be merry. And don't worry about it. But then, of course, in the parable, the Lord says those really caustic words. If you think about it, thou fool, this very night your soul shall be required of you. What then will you do? And of course, for us, who perhaps aren't as rich as this rich man, it's still a very important thing for us to take into mind during this season where all of a sudden, like roses and daffodils and flowers that blossom up in the spring, so do the commercial ads and the signs and all the appurtenances of the nativity season that we find ourselves in this country begin to spring up as well, beckoning us this way, beckoning us that way, that great orgiastic indulgence this coming Friday called Black Friday, where we can get on to the internet and make Amazon even richer than it already is because of the great deals they're going to offer us. Aren't they wonderful people offering us these great deals? If you think for a moment they're not making money on these great deals, you got something else coming. But it's a way of beckoning us in into the commercialization of the season and really into the commercialization of our entire lives, of thinking that somehow all of this stuff that we've accumulated is the most important thing in our life. Because it's certainly not. You cannot take it with you. You absolutely cannot take one thing with you. You're not going to be able to do it. And so in the parable, the Lord says, what are you going to do then? You know, who's going to get it then? Well, depending on what state you live in this country, your family might get it. The state might get it. Who knows? There's all kinds of people that are always beckoning, like, you know, buzzards at the grave, waiting for someone's spoils to come to them after they've departed this life. And so as we're working for these things, and as we're trying to be successful, we're trying to provide for our families, all these kind of things, and it's very important to do so, we still have to keep in mind that there is a limit to all of this in terms of what we are to do. If we're not putting treasure in heaven, and I know that for many people that seems like pie in the sky, but believe me, it's a very delicious pie, very tasty one in the sky. It's still something that we have to think about, because the Lord is telling us, if we are taking these things now and making them so important and making them first and foremost in all of our lives, that by the time we get to that final day when we breathe our last on this earth, our thoughts are still going to be thinking of those things. They're still going to be turned towards the materiality of the earth, of the things that we can get, the things that we can take, the things that we gather around us, because somehow they think that it makes our person, whatever that person is, that somehow it bolsters us in the eyes of other people, that it adds to our integrity how much we've got during this world. But you know, it doesn't. It really doesn't. One of the things I'm always astounded at, because if you've ever visited, for instance, the graves of someone famous, and I'm sure most of us here have seen those at one time or the other. And you know, when they were alive on the earth, you couldn't get near them, could you? I mean, it was impossible. They were fenced off. You couldn't touch them. You couldn't see them. You couldn't talk to them. They were so far above you, and now they're so far below you. Because you can walk up to their grave and you see, this person is just like any other person. They're now divested of any wealth, accumulation, fame, anything they had. There's nothing there. Sometimes these graves actually of very famous people seem very lonely. There's just no one around. It's all isolated. It all shows us where it ends up and how none of these things that we think are so important are really important. Because when the body of that person is lying in the grave, that person's soul is coming face to face with God. And there we find out the true integrity of the person. There we find out who they really are. There we find out how much they gave their heart and their mind and their soul to God while they were here. That's something we never, ever have to let slip from our minds, because that is the goal. That is the goal, as Bishop Nicholas is always telling us, to become more Christ-like. That's why we are here. And we do that by not putting our hope in things that are perishable. Because everything that we see around us is perishable. Absolutely everything. Even the hardest material you can think of is going to denigrate over time. It may take a while, but it will. Because the earth is full of corruption, and we are full of corruption. And it's only by the Spirit of God that we could live, that we can truly achieve the personhood that we all desire to be. Because without that, there's nothing there. And so, my brothers and sisters, we have to think during this time when others are out partying and feasting and overindulging and just buying boatloads of things because they think they could get it on the cheap. We have to realize that we're not. We're fasting. We're repenting. This is a time of preparation. This is a time of preparation for the greatest event in the history of mankind. God becoming incarnate among us. God becoming one of us. Coming in abject humility when He could have come in glory and splendor. But yet He comes quietly, silently, unobtrusively. Just as in the way that we're still celebrating the feast of the entry of the Mother of God into the temple, she also is coming at a young age in all humility to learn from the Lord for the great, great role that she is going to have, which she knows nothing about at this point. But yet she does come in humility so that when that day comes, when the Archangel Gabriel comes to her and asks her about this role and asks if she's going to accept this role, and in all humility she does, saying, "Be it done unto me according to thy will." And she was only able to say that because she had all of this intense preparation from the age of 3. Just as we also have to say, "Be it done
unto me according to thy will also to the Lord. And that's why we enter too into this time of preparation for his nativity. We have to do the same thing. There are lessons in so many of the great feasts of the church. They all come together. But probably the greatest lesson that we can have is humility before God, to understand who we are, what we need from him, and how we're not going to make idols of anything else in the world, whether it be barns or grains or crops or jewelry or Amazon.com, whatever it happens to be that seems to pull us away from the Spirit of the Lord. We have to relinquish it. We have to come to him, because now is the time. Now is the beckoning. We are in the nativity season, and we have to prepare our own minds to prepare the way for him to come to us. Amen.